Friday, the 13th of November, Kofov Mar Cheshvan, Rabbi Svi Belovsky, Parshas Chayesoro, From Where Did Avraham Come?
Good morning. Parsha begins with the demise of Sori Meinu and the report of her death and burial. And the Pasuk says, Vayovoy Avraham Nispoid Lasorov Livkoiso. That Avraham came to eulogize Sora and to cry for her. Now, this pasuk obviously indicates that she's somewhere else at the time. And the title of the shir is, From Where Did Avraham Come? What do we do with this? Vayovoy Avraham Nispoid Lasorov Livkoiso. Avraham came. So the traditional understanding is that there is a direct juxtaposition of Smichas HaParshias between what's going on here and the end of the previous Parsha. He's away at the Akedah, and there is a direct link between Sora's death and the Akedah that's explored in detail in many Meforshim, and it also actually appears in the Zohar and Parshas Bereishis, linking Sora's life to Yitzchok in an unusual way. But actually there are two opinions in the Midrash as to where Avraham is at the time, that he has to be coming from somewhere. The Midrash is in Midrash Rabbah Nun Ches Piskah Hei, Vayovoy Avraham Lispoid Soro, and Avraham came to eulogize Soro, Mehichon Bo. From where did he come? Rabbi Levi Omar, Rabbi Levi said, Mikivurosoi shel Terach l'Sora bo. He came from the burial of Terach to Sora. To do this, he's going from one funeral to another. He's out there burying Terach. It's important to understand that although we haven't heard from Terach since the end of Parshas Noach, you can work out quite easily he lives a very long time, and his death is recorded to create a sense that there's a new beginning. Avraham is starting again, although Terach doesn't die for many years into Avraham's journey. His death is recorded at the end of Parshas Noach, there's a detailed Maharal explaining it as well, to indicate that Terach's out of the picture. Avraham is a complete and clean break from the past and is starting again. So Terach, although we haven't heard from him, is only dying around now, according to this. And Avraham is out burying Terach when he hears about the death of Sora, and he has to come back to bury her. Omeli Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi argues with Rabbi Levi. Vahaloi kivuroso shel Terach kodmo le kivuroso shel Sora shtei shonim. This doesn't work. The cheshbon doesn't work. The Terach died 2 years before Sora, and so unless it was an exceptionally long funeral, or a very, very long way away, it seems improbable, says Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, the cheshbon simply doesn't work, and you need a different explanation. Therefore, Oila Mehechon Bos, in that case, he cannot be coming from the funeral of Terach, so where is he coming from? Mehar HaMoriyo. He comes from Har HaMoriyo, it's a much easier way of understanding it.
He went to Basheva, didn't he?
Well, he's Mehar HaMoriyo, so that's asking, he's gone Ruzel, that's afterwards, but directly it seems he comes from Mehar HaMoriyo. Umeso Sora Me'oisa Tsar. And because Sora died from the Tsar, from the distress of hearing about the Akedah. Lefichoch, and therefore, Nismucho Akedah le Vayiyu Chaye Soro. And therefore, the Akedah is juxtaposed at the beginning of our Parsha, which is recording the life and death of Soro. That's the Midrash. It's very nice. You can move on to the next Midrash, which is what we would do in Yeshiva. Very nice, go on to the next one. Now, what's the purpose of such a Midrash? To explain the apparent redundant phrase Vayovoy Avraham, Ovri Avraham came, because if he hadn't come, he wouldn't be there, unless he was there already. So we're learning, but since he doesn't tell us where he came from, then we're left with this kind of query as to what's going on. In fact, one could even suggest that Rabbi Levi's attempt at explaining it in a way other than the Akedah is more intuitive. If you didn't have the phrase Vayovoy Avraham, you'd know it's at the Akedah. The Akedah's just happened, and so on. So the attempt to find some other explanation, perhaps, is understandable. What does one do with such a midrash? So I'm going to suggest two Sokachov approaches to using this midrash as a tool for some kind of inspiration to understanding Avraham in the light of this midrash, rather than treating it as just a machlok, is what the phrase means. If one conceptualizes it, then it may well be an exploration of Avram's mindset. Where is he coming from? We say that in yeshivish speak, that, you know, where's he coming from doesn't mean geographically where is he coming from. It means, you know, where's he coming from? Like, what's in mind? You know, what's he thinking about? What mindset, with what mindset is he approaching this episode? And we're familiar with this type of analysis from Chazal's understanding of the phrase Vayomer lo ayeko in Parshas Bereishis. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows geographically precisely where Avram is, where Odom is, and Odom knows that a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows precisely where he is, in which case the question is not simply geographically, where are you? It means, where are you? Like, what on earth are you up to? What were you thinking? How could you have done this? It encapsulates all those sorts of ideas. Ayeko, where are you, man? Not where are you, but where are you? If you understand what I mean. And so this type of analysis is familiar, that observations that appear to be geographic are in fact conceptual. So let's begin. There is a Shem Shmuel in this parasha, written in Tof Reish Ein Hei. This is 95 years ago. And he quotes the Midrash. So he begins by quoting his father. In these years, he quotes his father frequently. It's going to be the 100th yahrzeit of the Avnei Nezer very shortly, and at the beginning of 2010. He died in 1910. So in these years, from 1910 and so on onwards, he's quoting his father a great deal because he's recently died. Anyway, he quotes his father, and he is immediately, and this is a typical Sokachov reading, which is to conceptualize the Midrash, to make this machlokes between Rabbi Levi and Rabbi Yossi into something of some meaning, rather than just an abstract discussion, from which we really learn nothing at all, if we're honest, other than just some, you know, some explanation to justify the additional word. So he begins by quoting his father. What does the question mehechon bo mean? Hinei kavuras sora hoysa gemilas chesed. Burying sora is gemilas chesed. Okay, in fact, it's the paradigm of chesed. Chesed shall emes. That's where we get these phrases from. In fact, the paradigm how to deal with these sorts of sad occasions, how to behave, how to eulogize. We learn these from this parasha. So he says that Hatinuch im hoya bo mimida acheres le gemilas chesed. If he was coming, i.e. coming from some other midah, meaning he was involved in some other activity, he was doing something else, he was acting out of character, if you like, and he'd come here, le gemilas chesed, to do an act of chesed al Avram, shekol atzmoi ho midas acheted, but Avram doesn't work like that. Avram's entire essence is chesed. He acts in this extreme chesed way the whole time. In fact, that's how we understand in the more Kabbalistic picture, Avram is chesed, that's one extreme, and Yitzchok is the other extreme, and Yaakov is Tiferes, which is the synthesis, which is the basis of the Jewish people. And we're familiar with seeing Avram through the lens of extreme chesed. Avram doesn't have to come from anywhere to do this chesed, however painful it may be, because that's his completely natural way of behaving. That is his norm, that expresses, epitomizes who he is. And therefore, why does the posuk need to say, Vayavoy Avraham? He doesn't have to come from anywhere. He hasn't got to muster the strength to do this. He hasn't got to somehow or other switch the way he's thinking about the world. He's not coming from anywhere. That's just who he is. We don't need to know he's coming from anywhere. This is how the Avnei Nezer wants to explore. And he said, if it were that Avram could be in some other character part, he's doing something else, okay, you'd have to come from somewhere. But Avram, that's his essence. That is the meaning of the Midrash. It's trying to explore, is it possible that Avram may have been doing something prior to this event which was not in keeping with his normal behavior? He said, and that is the question of the Midrash according to the Avnei Nezer. Where is he coming from? Is he acting out of character? And the answer is yes. Then we have to say, well, what was he doing? So the first view, the view of Rabbi Levi, Shabor Mikiburoso Shel Terach. What is the inyan of Terach? So the Avnei Nezer says, Shu inyan Kibud Ov, Shu Midas Adin. Kibud Ov, looking after the needs of his father. This is not some kind of chesed. He said, kibbutz ov is an inyan of din. This is an absolute requirement. And so therefore, in order to move from what he was doing before to what he's doing now, there's a change of mindset, a change of, if you like, a change of part. He's been acting somewhat out of character, because he has to meet his responsibilities to his father. And therefore, you can say in some legitimate conceptual way, Vayavoy Avraham, he's coming from that to this. That you may have thought, if you're just looking at the story, they were just much the same. He's in a chesed mode, and he carries on with chesed, to others, and no. That the burial of Terach is conceptually entirely different from the burial of Sorrel. That's how the Avnei Nezer understands Rebbe Levi. In which case, then, what does the second opinion mean? So too, it's very simple now, coming from the Akedah, Rebbe Yosi, forget the detail of the argument that it's 2 years out of sync. Forget that. Rebbe Yosi's shita is, I can't really accept that because it doesn't work, it's 2 years before. So I need to find some other event which indicates he's acting out of character. And of course, Akedah, it's exactly the same thing. As he says, V'chein, I'm quoting now the Shemesh Shmuel, citing his father, V'chein mehar hamoyriyo. Similarly, the other view of Rebbe Yosi, he's coming from Har HaMoriah, Shirotza Lasois Din Bi Yitzchok. He is doing din against Yitzchok, which is, as he says, Hepuch Midas HaChesed. This is the absolute fact of the famous Rabbeinu Bachya in last week's Parsha, explaining what the nature of the challenge of the Akedah is. We're familiar, this is how we think about it, this is how we teach it to our children, that Avraham exemplifies Chesed. He waits his entire long life for this dearly yearned for child, and then against all the odds, in a completely miraculous way, has this child, and he builds up this picture of how can you imagine the love and expectations that are poured into this child, and he reaches maturity, and Avraham can see that he's going to not just be, you know, his child, but also he's going to be his successor. He's going to be capable of carrying on Avraham's spiritual achievements into the next generation. And then, after all that, you can't imagine the love. And that's quite apart from the fact that Avraham exemplifies chesed, is prepared to extend chesed to the people of Sodom and to passing Ode Avodah Zorah, and so on and so forth. And suddenly, God says, apparently, that he has to kill him. That's Rabbeinu Bachya. It's the absolute subversion of the very essence of Avraham, not just in terms of his chesed, but in terms of his particular relationship with Yitzchok. That idea that we're so familiar with teaching is expressed very beautifully and originates in the Rabbeinu Bachya in last week's parasha. Avraham is midas hachesed. He's being asked here to do something which is the ultimate din, to totally go against his nature. He's coming from the Akedah, and that is what Rebbe Yosi means. What is Avraham coming from that he has to fit back into his normal mode of thinking, his way of looking at the world, to deal with the burial of his wife? The answer is he comes Mehechon Bo Me'akedas Yitzchak Bo. He comes from Akedas Yitzchok. As he says, Shizeh Shapi Yitzchak Leis Oyle V'Hiskel Lasos Mida Acheres. And as such, the Avnei Nezer says, since he is acting in accordance with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's instructions against his natural attribute, his Chesed, Shapi Yitzchak Leis Oyle V'Hiskel Lasos Mida Acheres. Now he has to stop, and he has to reawaken. He's coming from somewhere. It's a complete allegorization or conceptualization of the Midrash in order to act in chesed, to deal with midah acheres shehi gemilas chesed the sorrow, to perform chesed for sorrow. And so the question of the Midrash then, according to the Avnei Nezer, is where's he coming from? What was he doing that was different from normal? The Torah needs to tell us that he's now moving back into normality in order to be able to deal with the practicalities of the burial of his wife. So, it's an interesting lesson. It's very, not necessarily the particular explanation, but the style of approach is very Maimonidean. It's quite hard to say that with my teeth in that word, Maimonidean. Meaning that the Rambam is very keen that Midrashim and Agadotah should always be taken as true, but should be understood to convey ideas. And this is the Maharal, the Chem Shmuel, the Avnei Nezer, the Sokotchov is very influenced by this style of analysis of the Maharal, that every line means something, but you should read it as a kind of teaching concepts and ideas, rather than necessarily just a literal study what happened. Of course, we're interested where he came from, but we're only interested to discover where he came from, because where he came from tells us something important about the way Avraham functions, that he is capable, at least temporarily, of suspending his normal approach to the world, And that's what he's been doing either with the burial of Terah or with the Akedah. But of course, this demands that he returns, he comes back to normality. And that makes the Midrash much more meaningful than just a straightforward reading of what to do with the extra phrase. And it also avoids saying it's purely allegorical. It is a discussion about where he came from, but there's a reason why we're interested in where he came from, because it teaches something about the flexibility and the, if you like, and the sterling qualities of Avram. So that's Shemesh Shmuel quoting his father. What he usually does in this sort of thing, that's very nice, he said, but I'm going to use the same line of reason to give you a completely different explanation. So that's explanation one. So now he tries, he goes off on his own. He said, having sort of validated that type of analysis based on his father's idea, now what's he going to say? Lefi dar koizal. He said, according to my late father's approach, yeshi lo ba'oifanacha. I'm going to say a different way. I'll give you a different explanation. So this is, I would say it's less straightforward and possibly a little more profound. So we found out, the next parsha, he said, there are many explanations. So we hear Avram Zokain. After the passage dealing with the burial of Sorrow, the next is Avram Ozok. And Avram is 137. By anyone's standards, he's pretty old already. And so that we have to find some explanation as to why, but he means he's old, it means he became old. Many midrashic readings, but this midrash, he reads from Midrash Tanchuma, Shehiskin ba'avur agmus nafshoy al-sorah. He became old, dealing with the trauma of the death of his wife, aged him. Now he's become old, he was the same age the week before. But now he's become aged, he's very badly affected by it, completely understandably. It's perfectly obvious, it's self-evident that he will be moved to cry and to eulogize. Because the half his flesh has gone, meaning his life partner has been taken away from him. It's perfectly natural, you know, to be devastated by this. Devastated. Entirely normal. Ah, b'masha kosum aforish dispoed asorah livkoi. So, it could have said it rather more briefly. We know he would come along. Why is he emphasising it comes by Voya Rom Lispoid Lisoro Velivkoiso? It's quite lengthy. So it's the phrase Lisoro is interested in. Lispoid Lisoro. I mean, who else would the eulogy be for? I mean, he's coming. We know his wife's died. He is making the funeral arrangements. He's eulogising. He's crying. Lispoid Lisoro. Well, like that's for someone else. So he makes a very, very profound observation, which is that we're not always aware of our own motivation. What's our motivation? Sometimes we're doing things which are ostensibly the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing things for other people, and but we're not self-aware enough to recognize we're doing it for ourselves. We feel good about it. It makes us feel good about the world. If we have a propensity to behave in a certain way, then if we behave in that way, we feel good about it, and we say, oh, that's what God wants. Here the Pasuk is emphasizing that although his intrinsic middah, his essence is chesed, and therefore he feels good about doing chesed. That's how he is. He's quite natural. If you catch him when he's half asleep, he's doing chesed, because that's what he is. And he's sitting there, as we know, in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when he's in pain from his bris milah, and the sun's beating down, and there are some idolaters walking past, or people he presumes to be idolaters. He just goes into natural chesed, feeding them and caring for them. That's his natural behaviour. It's very important to be sufficiently self-aware that the reason he's doing it is because a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants him to behave in this way rather than because he feels good about it. We are not that good at being sufficiently self-aware. Hence, the Pasuk says, Vayovoy Avraham lispoid lesorah velivkoiso. It's lesorah. He's doing it exclusively for Sorah and not for himself. Not because he feels good, not because he's a natural man of chesed. But just in the same way that it was so incredibly difficult to subvert his natural attribute to go to the Akedah, he did it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted. He was doing it exclusively for altruistic reasons, focused on sorrow. It's a very good deal, one which we may never have noticed. It's this point of the sorrow, that word the sorrow, as you can see, is redundant. As he puts it, Shema minoshikol altmohel bishvil sorrow. Everything he did was bishvil sorrow, because of sorrow. V'loy bishvil atzmoy. and not for himself. Shemot says Atzmei Chesed, a chosar, and not because he felt sorry for himself, not because he felt that he was lacking, not because his natural attributes do Chesed. He did it exclusively for her. He said, and once you understand that, he said it would like to suggest is the question of the Midrash in the context of that observation about Avram's motivation. He said, then we can understand the question. As he says, was there Yuvnu Divrei HaMidrash Shekor LeKivura Sora Chesed? He said, then we can understand the Midrash, which is looking at the Kivura of Sora as a Chesed. So he said, but it's the way of the world. He said, the way of the world is that people die, and that their relatives are distressed, and perform the appropriate chesed to arrange the burial of their remains and to mourn them appropriately. That's what everyone does. What's the big chesed here? And certainly with Avram, Marabusad Avram, what's the big deal? Ach, who are Dovashurabusad Avram Hoyam Ma? So what is the story with Avram? Why is so much emphasis made? Because for Avram, the challenge is doing it for the other person. Doing it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants it, rather than because that's just the way he behaves, that's his natural tendency, just reverting to his natural attribute, as he puts it very beautifully. Shirabusad Avram, the challenge for Avram is, to bother to tell us about it, Hoyosom Marsha Hivshit Es Atzmoy Mi'inyone Atzmoy. He was able to divest himself of any self-motivation, of anything which was self-focused. He had no other consideration or motivation, rak ligmoil chesed l'sora, just to do chesed for sora, speedy korish, and he would deal for the hesped, and to ensure that she's buried correctly. He said, and this is a big deal. He said, it's very difficult. He said, because it's a natural tendency. He's suffering terribly. They've been married for many, many years. They have a very good relationship and so on and so forth, as we can see throughout the text. It's increased, devastated. And yet, he is probably able to focus on the other person rather than his own immediate needs and grief. In fact, we're familiar with the observation. The word livkoiso has a small letter in it. And so he didn't cry too much. We think, oh, it's a bit callous. He didn't cry too much. Perhaps this is what it means. That it's understood that it's focused entirely appropriate for the other person, and it's not self-indulgent or self-focused. And therefore, Niske Mikol Eila Mu'uma, the Kavonasur Raklakai Miskunas Cheta Vizoy Rabusi Yaseir. It's a really big deal to describe the fact for Avram that he's not focused on himself at all, and his intention is purely for the mitzvah. He said, once you've got that, he said, now I'm going to reread the Midrash for you and say what the question is. Vizer Shashalu Mehechen Bo. That is the question of the Midrash. Mehechen Bo. He says, Mehechen Bo Zocha. That is an unbelievably difficult challenge. And if you want to understand in the context, and the Shemesh Bull speaks about this a lot, the challenges of Avram presumably become progressively more difficult. And sometimes it's not so easy to see why a particular challenge was more difficult than the one before. If this, if you like, is the final challenge, then this may be his most difficult challenge of all, to completely divest himself of any kind of personal motivation and focus exclusively on the other person despite his natural tendencies. And which case, according to the Shem Yishmul, the question now of the Midrash, Mehechen Bo, is from which episode, which experience, did he draw the capacity to succeed in this awesome challenge? From where did he come from? What had recently influenced him? What had transformed him so that he was able to actually achieve this? As he said, Mehechen Zocha Uvo L'Chlal Midazoi. What had he done? What had he done in the past? What event had enabled him, had merited him to succeed here? For Omer Rebbe Levi. So now we read the Midrash in the remaining few minutes. Mikivuroso Shel Terach. He came from the Kavur of Terach. So, we mentioned before, the beginning, that there is a line drawn completely between, if you like, the end of Parshas Noach and the rest of Avram's life, even though Terach lives for many years. Unlike the way the Avni Nezer read it, it's familiar in Chazal. In fact, he quotes in Midrash, L'cho ani poito orcho mikibud of vo'ein. You are exempt from Kibbutz Ofel Ein. You've drawn a line, it's a new beginning, and the Maharal spends quite a lot of time at the beginning of the Gevuras explaining how Avraham is a new beginning, he's completely disassociated from his background and his past in the most profound way. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, you are exempt from Kibbutz Ofel Ein. As the Maharal explains, as he quotes the Maharal, he's a new world. And it's considered as though Terach is not his father in any sense. And therefore, min hadin, lo hayatzorich l'tapa v'kuvurosoi. Min hadin, there's no requirement. You've got to be, his Terach dies, you can do nothing. There is no response required at all. Uniquely, he has no association and he has no responsibilities. It's very clever. Shemesh Moran said exactly the opposite of what his father says. He said it in a very nice way, so you haven't quite noticed. He says, in the same way that my father said, well, actually, his father based his explanation on the fact that he was doing Kibbutz Ofel Ein, and in this regard, it was obligatory, it was min hadin, and according to the Shemesh Moran's reading, his father's got it wrong, because Chazal say he min hadin, he has no obligation of Kibbutz Ofel Ein, which means if he has no obligation of Kibbutz Ofel Ein, why? What does it mean? He's gone off to the burial. What is that? It is pure, undiluted chesed. There is absolutely no self-interest, absolutely no interest in the other person, because he has absolutely divorced from him in the most profound sense. Hayomitzad ha-chesed ha-gomor. It is absolute chesed. And if he was able to do that, to go off where? Back miles away, to do something which he was completely exempt and was just a pure and exclusive a manifestation of chesed, he goes from one to the other. That's the experience from which we see that Avraham has the capacity to come to Sorah and lispoid lesorah v'livkosah, and not do it for any other reason other than to focus on Sorah. He demonstrated he was capable of divesting himself of any personal interest and doing it purely because that is the right thing to do. Rabbi Yossi, as an alternative, says it doesn't quite work because actually Terach died 2 years earlier. Mehar Hamoriyo bo, he came from Har Hamoriyo. Shushom Hivshit Atzmo Mikol Ni Atzmo, that is where he divested himself completely of any sort of personal interest. If there had been the slightest willingness to act on his normal impulses, he would never have been able to do it. The whole challenge of the Akedah is about setting aside all of his normal tendencies and focus exclusively on the divine will. If he was not able to do that, the whole Akedah story would never have happened. Kodesh Baruch Hu would have spoken to him and he said, I'm sorry God, I can't do it. Right? And since you see from the Akedah that he's capable, even though of course it's not an act of chesed, doesn't have to be an act of chesed, it has to be a circumstance in which he's demonstrated to be capable of divesting himself from his intrinsic attributes. Bishvil zeh zochor, because of this he merited, shebechol eis bo le mitzvah, or whenever he would come to a mitzvah, yeh bekoichol asos bo ofen kazeh, he will be capable of performing it in this way. It's a very profound rereading of the Midrash. Just to recap, the Shemesh Shmuel's own reading of the Midrash is, the question is, which event, which recent episode in Avram's life demonstrates and perhaps enables him to divest himself entirely of his own attributes, such that even in the most challenging times he's capable of acting this Shem Shemaim completely, without any kind of personal interest or focus on his own natural attributes, or on his own loss, what we would call a degree of self-awareness, to be capable of distinguishing between acting out of self-interest and altruistically. The answer is either from the Kavur of Terach, which was pure chesed and not din, or from the Akedah, where he was capable of setting aside his most central attribute of chesed and acting in the model of din. So, two clever explanations, as they're both from the school of Sokhchol, one Avni Nez and one Shemesh, all sign past your Shabbos table, but also a lesson in that it's easy to read Mizrashim, there's an extra verse, we look at the words, there's two different Pshotim, and you move on. But with a little bit of Sokhchol genius, and of course Sokhchol's certainly not the only one to do it, he's very heavily influenced in this approach by the Maharal, one can understand that every question that Chazal ask in the Midrash, even some that seem bizarre, things which we pass over, if you look at them carefully and try to contextualize them, they're teaching us a wealth about the obvious in ourselves. Have a good Shabbos.